Good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. This morning we're going to close out this series that we've been looking at, Those Who Are Blessed. We have gone through Psalm 1. We've looked at Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes. And this morning, we're going to look at the Bible. I'm going to give you my opinion for a second. We're going to look at least for me, when it comes to being blessed and who will be blessed, one that stands out that we look at this morning is my favorite, what I believe to be the most important one that we get to see in Scripture. Here in Psalm 1, I want you to think about where we began. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Verse 6 tells us that those that are like the first three verses, the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, doesn't sit with the scornful or the God mockers, the one who is planted with the Word of God, meditates on it day and night, the one that is fed by God and makes sure that his life is lived for him. The Bible says here in verse 6 that God knows his way. That's why he's blessed, is because of all that he's done in his life, the way in which he lives his life. The reason that he's blessed is he meditates on the Lord, and the Lord knows it. The Lord knows who he is. He's not looking at those that are the ungodly. In fact, here in verse 6, their way is going to perish, come to nothing. It's going to be destroyed. Look with me at Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And to think about here how incredible verse 6 is. That God knows the way of the righteous. That in contrast to those that are wicked, in contrast to those that are evil, their way is going to come to nothing. It's going to perish. It's going to bring them to the greatest ruin it could possibly do so. But not the righteous. And I think about those that are blessed. Here in Revelation 14, we're going to begin in verse 6. John writing says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water.' Behold, another angel followed, saying, 'Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.' Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Verse 13 is the greatest bless, in my opinion, we have in Scripture. And notice the voice is told, God's telling John, write this down. Do not hide this from anyone. You write this down. Because think about what he hasn't hidden. Go back to verse 6. Notice, here comes an angel. What is he bringing? The everlasting gospel. Jesus says in multiple places, listen, this world, everything that we know is going to go away. My word's not going to go away. This is everlasting. This is that gospel that's going to be for all time. And here's what he brings. Notice, he brings the everlasting gospel. Who's he bring it to? Notice the end of verse 6. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people. There's no one left out. This is exactly what we see happen in Acts chapter 2. When we have the birth of the church. And you think about the church being born. The gospel being preached. That first gospel sermon. It's everlasting. The same people that heard it then are the same. It's the same message today. It's not changed. We didn't have something new that came about. Instead, that same message, because it is everlasting. We're never going to have it go away. He's crying out with a loud voice, letting everybody. Here's what he has brought, the everlasting gospel. And he says in verse 7, fear God and give glory to him. Don't get caught up. We talked in our Bible class this morning about the parable of the sower. And you think about the seed and everywhere that it's spread. We've always got to be on our guard, making sure that we don't have things that come into our life that choke us out. Have things that come into our lives that cause us to lose our faith. Have things that happen in our life that cause us, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't want to. And it causes us to lose our faith in Christ and put our faith in someone else, in man. You think about what happens. Babylon has fallen. The things of this world fall. The things of this world cause destruction. And it causes the wrath of God to be poured out on those who will not fear Him and glorify Him. Now, I realize this is first century context. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to make this entirety of this book apply to us. When you look at verse number 13 and you think about that everlasting gospel that has gone out, the message of the cross, fear God, give glory to Him. Do not allow the things of this world to cause you to turn away from Him. Instead, because you've held fast to your faith, verse 12 tells us, here's the patience, here's the perseverance, here's what happens to those who have put their faith in Christ Jesus and who have carried that out the entirety of their life. Notice what happens. Blessed. God says, write this down. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Their works follow them. Back to Psalm 1 and verse 6 and think about it. Think about what he says. That the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows. He knows who you are. He knows everything about you. The Lord knows everything about us. He knows our life. He knows whether or not we've lived for Him. He knows whether or not we have put in everything in our effort to follow after Him. Heavenly happiness only comes to those who would follow God in this way. That's why God says to John, write this down. Don't let anybody forget it. It isn't hearsay. It's not to be passed down by word of mouth. Write this down so they don't ever forget this, so that they can know this for all time. Here's what happens. Here are the most blessed people on the face of the planet. Those that die in the Lord from now on. Those who are His. You see, that's where I've got to be, is in the Lord. I love that phrase, in the Lord. We see it over and over again. At some point in time, I'd love to do a series on in the Lord, because it's where, according to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 and following through verse 4, where are all spiritual blessings found? In the Lord. It's where it got to be, in the Lord. When I think about here, dying in the Lord means that I have lived my life dedicated to Him. Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 9. And He said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. This is an angel of God who has spoken to John. Because you see in the next verse, he's going to fall down before him. He's going to say, don't worship me. See that you don't do that. Notice, here's what happens. Right. Blessed are those who are called. They are invited to the marriage of the Lamb. Write this down. Blessed, happy are those who are called here. Well, who's the bride? The church. You and I. Those that make up the church, the body of Christ, they're the ones who are going to be called to that marriage feast. When we think about Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25, as He's talked about AD 70 and what would take place and happen to Jerusalem, and He goes on of that day and hour to give the time of the judgment that was going to come that nobody knows, and He gives a parable of the 10 virgins, right? 5 were prepared, 5 were not. Those that are called, the bridegroom came, those that they'd fallen asleep, those 5 that were unprepared, did not have what was necessary and needed for when they came. But those that were ready, those that were prepared, they lived their life. They weren't going to be caught off guard, not being ready to go. Blessed are those who are called to that marriage feast. Notice, these are the true sayings of God. Meaning, that everlasting gospel. God's word, truth, true sayings. Nothing dishonest about them. Nothing about them is hypocritical in any way, shape, or form. At all times, when God says it, God means it. Blessed are those who get to go in with Him. Go to chapter 22 of Revelation. And we see in verse 7 the words of Jesus. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Go down to verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Verse 1 tells us about a pure river that comes from the throne of God. That's that everlasting water that we are able to feed off of. Be taken care of for all eternity. Why are those in Revelation 14 and verse 13 so blessed? They are blessed because God knows them. He knows who they are. They have been fed like the one in Psalm 1 and verse 3. Planted by the rivers of water. That every time, regardless of circumstance, regardless of what happened in their life, good times, bad times, God was glorified at all times. They gave off their fruit in its season every time. They didn't have those seasons of drought. They didn't have those seasons where they were barren because regardless of what was going on in their life, they were planted with God. They fed on Him. That's why they're blessed. That's why they're happy. It's why God knows them and who they are. They didn't stop trusting in Him. They didn't start trusting in man. They didn't leave Him behind to say, well, I guess God has walked away from me at this point. No, He hasn't. God didn't go anywhere. And those who put their faith and their trust in Him, that's what they find. They find God knows them. And those that keep His word are the ones who are blessed. I think about these words. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, these words that we've read, those who are blessed, those who get to have that victory, the ones who know God. Beginning in verse 50, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Notice, knowing that your labor is not in vain, where? In the Lord. Where do I have to be in order to be blessed for all eternity? In the Lord. You see, that's the responsibility I have. And He's given me every way to access Him. Because what God wants isn't a mystery. It's not hidden. It's known. And we get to follow after Him. If you look with me at Matthew chapter 11, think about these words. Every time that we come together, we offer the Lord's invitation. And this is what that invitation looks like, because this is what He says. Not what we say. Doesn't matter what my opinion is. Doesn't matter what I want it to be. It matters what He says. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28. These words from Jesus. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me is what Jesus said, not anybody else. Come to me, you who labor are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You can take my yoke upon you. You can learn from me. See, He's the one who we turn to. He's the one we put our faith in. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor. Their work follows them. God knows you. He knows what you do. He knows how you live. See, we can fool one another. We can't ever fool Him. Where is your faith? What does your life say about your faith? We can gain all the knowledge of this world. We can gain all the knowledge of everything going on around us. But if I don't know Him, guess what? He knows. He knows. He has that type of knowledge of me. He has that type of knowledge of you. He knows if we live for Him or if we don't. The greatest part of this, and this is why this is my favorite blessed passage in Revelation 14 in verse 13. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Well, I can be in Him. I can find heavenly happiness. I can find happiness that's not temporary. I can find happiness that never goes away. I can have eternal happiness, but I can only have it if I'm in the Lord. That's it. That's the only place that it's found. You see how John words that? Do you see what God has told him? Right. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. He tells us exactly where to be. And you know, you and I can be there. We can be in the Lord. Look with me at Galatians chapter 3. And I want you to see this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. There's the truth that we read of. There's what we get to see. And there's what we can know. And the place that we can go to know it is His word. Causes me to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. I can believe in Him all I want, but unless I'm acting on that belief does me no good. Jesus said that we have to believe in Him to not perish, not die in our sins. And I have to repent. That change of heart, change of mind. Acts 17:30 tells me that God requires that of every single person. He doesn't, truly these times of ignorance God winked at, but now. So He doesn't wink at that ignorance any longer. I'm not going to be able to plead ignorance. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Be willing to confess His name, Matthew 10 and verse 32. Again, those words of Jesus. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Sounds like a really great deal. If I confess Him, live for Him, show my life in service to Him. So how do I get into Him? Beginning in verse 26, here of Galatians chapter 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You see that? Children of God? Through our faith in Christ Jesus. Well, what does that look like? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What did I do? I followed all of His plan of salvation. You see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Notice here in verse 26 of Galatians 3, I'm a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But it's not enough just to say that I have faith. I've got to be obedient and show it. Verse 27 is what shows it. You see, that's where I submit to living for Him. That's where, according to Revelation 1 and verse 5, my sins at that point are now washed away. Because I've been baptized into Christ. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That point is where I change location. That's where I change from outside of Christ to in Him. You understand that now I'm blessed? Because if I will live faithful, and that's what Jesus says in Revelation 2, the last sentence of verse 10, be faithful unto death, I will give you the crown of life, He says. I will give it. It's His authority, and He's the only one who can do it. Why? Because I got to die in Him. And in Him, I receive all those spiritual blessings. In Him is where I am blessed and happy for all eternity. I'm never going to find it outside of Him. It's not possible. Where are you? Are you in Him? Do you live for Him every day? Maybe this morning you need to become a child of God. You can. The water's ready. We can help you in any way. But you have to have that faith that motivates you to live for Him every day. And it doesn't come from me. It comes from Him. It comes from His Word. That's what causes the chain reaction of change. That's what takes place. It's hearing His Word. Believing in Jesus. Be willing to repent. Confess His name. Be buried with Him where you submit. This is where you get into Christ. You rise to walk in newness of life. And you can have that victory that comes only in Jesus. But you've got to be in Him. And it's where you find eternal happiness. Maybe you need to become a child of God. Or maybe this morning as a child of God, the victory might not be yours because the things of this world are what have choked you out. But those concerns, those worries, or all that consume you. Maybe you need to get your life right with Christ. Or maybe you just need the prayers of the church. You know, we talked this morning that the biggest thing that we can do for one another, yes, we need to pay attention to one another, but we also need to talk and communicate. And so if there's something you're struggling with, something we can help you with, we'd invite you to come now. So together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.